Good afternoon. So you've all stayed for one of the very last sessions at APHA, because whether you're a researcher, a policymaker, an advocate, or a program planner, the data that we have about the consequences of unsafe abortion matters to you. The data on the most severe consequences of unsafe abortion, abortion-related mortality, matters a great deal in terms of how we understand maternal mortality broadly, how we target programs and aim to reduce maternal mortality from specific causes, and how and where we invest in the provision of safe abortion and the prevention of unsafe abortion. I have no relationships to disclose. So over the next 12 minutes or so, I will walk you through one approach for better understanding the data that we currently have on abortion-related mortality. I'll give a brief background on the state of the data, talk about the framework through which I've come to view the shortcomings of the data that we currently have, and introduce you to the method of multiple bias analysis. I'll then briefly walk you through one example of this method and conclude with what I see as the strengths, limitations, and implications of addressing the shortcomings of the data through this methodology. How does that sound? All right. So you're probably all familiar with this figure. For more than a decade, the WHO has reported the proportion of maternal mortality that is due to unsafe abortion to be 13%. This statistic is widely cited in the literature. In fact, it's the only statistic that's cited in the literature. But it is just as widely acknowledged to be an underestimate. The authors of the very report from which this 13% figure originates, they themselves note significant challenges of data collection and measurement. We'll talk about some of the reasons behind these data quality issues in a bit. But the authors state clearly in the report that existing estimates, both local and global, are likely to underestimate the proportion of abortion-related mortality. In other words, the true burden of abortion-related mortality is in fact unknown. So given the poor quality of the data that we have, how do we frame the problem? I'm an epidemiologist by training, and in my field, we spend a lot of time thinking about random error, the role of chance in our studies, and how to report it. We've generally landed on a consensus for reporting random error through a 95% confidence interval, but although we are endlessly teaching students of epidemiology of the perils of systematic error, otherwise known as bias, in our studies, we admittedly do a poor job of acknowledging systematic error in the studies that we have, and a poorer job still of quantifying or actually reporting it. Just a brief Epi 101. In order for any study to be valid, the study sample must be representative of the target population or the population to which you want to make inference. If there's something systematically different about the study population with respect to the target population, any conclusion that we draw will be biased. Given the challenges of access to medical services in the developing world, coupled with widespread stigma associated with abortion, especially in countries where abortion is illegal or highly restricted, I can think of almost nowhere in our field or any other that concerns about systematic differences between study samples and target populations are more salient. With respect to the data on abortion-related mortality, what I wanted to know was what biases exist in current estimates of abortion-related mortality, what is the quantitative impact of those biases on existing estimates of abortion-related mortality, and what are the program and policy implications of adjusting those estimates. So let's think about it like this. If we are interested in estimating the proportion of all maternal deaths that are abortion-related in, say, a rural area in a sub-Saharan African country, our target population would be the true incidence of maternal mortality, all maternal deaths that occur in the target population. However, We are only able to identify maternal deaths through surveys. For simplicity's sake, either through facility-based surveys or through verbal autopsies in the community. If a woman is not able to get to a facility, or if family members of a deceased woman choose not to participate in verbal autopsy surveys, those deaths will not be counted. For many reasons, this may be more likely to occur in cases of abortion-related deaths. Hence, we're concerned about selection bias, that the deaths that we have in our study have a different distribution of causes from those that actually occur in the community. Next, we must actually classify the maternal deaths that we have in our study according to cause of death. In facilities, abortion-related deaths often get misclassified as other obstetric causes that they resemble, for example, sepsis, hemorrhage, or spontaneous abortion. Hence, we are concerned about misclassification, that the recorded causes of death in our study do not reflect the true distribution of cause of death in the community. What we are left with is then some correctly classified abortion-related deaths, some incorrectly classified abortion-related deaths, and we've missed all of the abortion-related deaths that were misclassified or did not make it into our study in the first place. So now that we've identified the major sources of bias in the data, selection bias and misclassification, what are the methods that we have available to us to quantify the impact of those biases on the data? One method currently gaining popularity in my field, in epidemiology, is multiple bias analysis. It's a Bayesian probabilistic extension of basic sensitivity analysis that allows researchers to address multiple non-independent threats to a study's validity in one analysis, i.e., we can look at selection bias and misclassification in the same analysis. Multiple bias analysis requires three main components. First, researchers determine which biases are likely to exist in their studies. Second, researchers construct parameters or probability distributions of the probable magnitude of those biases. And third, after applying those distributions to the data, researchers randomly sample from those parameters thousands and thousands of times to generate a hypothetical distribution of a point estimate of sort of a mean had the bias not existed in the first place. So now we're going to blaze through an example of multiple bias analysis to adjust for the biases that we just identified as being of the greatest concerns in studies of abortion-related mortality. I just got myself confused. So we're going to use the example of a facility-based study from Nigeria that reported just over 6% of maternal deaths as abortion-related. Okay, so what can we do? First, we can recognize that our estimates are prone to random error, and we can report confidence intervals around them. As an aside, when conducting a systematic review of all of the papers that have reported the proportion of abortion-related maternal deaths since the year 2000, I did not discover a single one that actually reported a confidence interval around their point estimates. So for step two, we can define parameters for the biases that we've identified, in our case, selection bias and misclassification. We must correct for the biases in the order in which they occurred. So first, the participant must actually be selected into the study. So we're adjusting for selection bias first. Second, the classification of the cause of death has to occur. So we adjust for misclassification second. We assign a prior distribution for selection bias. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to go through the statistical and Bayesian underpinnings of this method. I'm happy to talk to anybody who's interested in the actual method later. But after we assign prior distributions, we use modeling techniques akin to bootstrapping to adjust the existing estimate in accordance with the determined levels of selection bias in this case. We then use the same techniques to model misclassification on top of the selection bias. And finally, we can integrate random error into our models and construct ranges of plausible values, which you can equate to something like a 95% confidence interval, around our estimate. So next you're going to see a graphical depiction of the steps I just described. Keep in mind that the initial point estimate from this study was about 6% of maternal mortality due to unsafe abortion. And when we constructed that basic 95% confidence interval, the range we had went from 4.5 to 8%. Now we adjust for selection bias first, then misclassification, and then integrating random error. You can see that the point estimate is shifting upwards towards about 12%. That's double what the study reported, with a range from 4% to nearly 30%. So what are the implications of a method like this? Multiple bias analysis techniques are a helpful tool through which researchers can attempt to quantify bias in their data. But these methods are by no means a silver bullet for correcting the existing estimates of abortion-related mortality. There's no disputing that the bias parameters chosen by their very nature dictate the results of any bias analysis. However, by virtue of making a priori statements of the presumed biases and their presumed magnitude in a study, researchers can establish a clear, transparent process by which systematic error was assessed. That process can then be followed by anyone else who's interested in looking at their data, who can make their own assessments about the correctness or incorrectness of the author's bias parameters, and about how the results would change if they decided to change the parameters. Multiple bias analysis is particularly applicable to the field of global reproductive health, where issues of selection factors, willingness to participate in studies, misreporting, and underreporting of sensitive behaviors have long been acknowledged as obstacles to the collection of high-quality data. I think it gives us a framework through which we can start thinking about what biases might exist in the estimates that we have on a broad range of things, and a tool through which we can begin to quantify the amount of bias and how it might actually affect our point estimates. With some fairly simple steps, reporting results of multiple bias analyses in estimates of abortion-related mortality, predictors of unsafe abortion, and other abortion-related reproductive health questions that suffer from similar biases would not only improve reporting practices in the field, but would provide a guide for researchers to understand the biases that exist in the data and how those biases might impact the observed data. I think it would also help policymakers by providing a more accurate understanding of the potential impact of policies that target the underlying causes of unsafe abortion and abortion-related mortality. Thanks so much.